It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Let's do something crazy.
Wake up with Toucher and Rich.
Oh boy, that's dumb.
Just tell your smart speaker to play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Taves wins it up top, but the Bruins burst through, create a turnover. We've got a penalty. Bruins with the puck. Marchand shoots, scores! Brad Marchand able to power through after the Bruins create the turnover. He snaps one into an empty net. Bruins 4, Blackhawks 2.
.985 to Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Billy Jaffe, he covers the Boston Bruins for Nesson, and he's kind enough to join us in studio on Wednesdays, even when his flight did not get in until 1 o'clock.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's all right.
What do we got going here?
It's called a microphone, Billy.
Hey.
You haven't got that long. That was I was expecting to be underwhelmed, just because the Winter Classic has kind of become that. For me, at least in the last few years. But not only was the game great, I thought the presentation was great, I thought the venue was great, except for the fact that apparently you were there so you would know they ran out of beer and food after the first period, from what the reports were saying.
Really?
Yes.
As long as we didn't run out of a warm place to go in, and I wasn't drinking beer, at least not on the record. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The fans were having a great time.
Yeah, it seemed like a good environment. The one at Gillette seemed sterile. And maybe it's because people were so far away from the action.
All right, well, that's a good question or comment, because I hadn't thought about, because they're both football stadiums.
Sure.
They're both the ovals, which are so much better than the baseball stadium.
There's no doubt.
Not visually, meaning you go to those baseball stadiums and it looks neat from the overhead when you see
on TV.
On TV.
Well, if you're there,
but
it sucks.
In the stadium, the baseball or football is much better. Maybe there's less room, I don't know, in Notre Dame football stadium. Width-wise,
mm-hmm.
So therefore it felt a little more intimate,
yeah,
a teeny bit more. You know what? I think there's something special about going to a place that it's not the greatest town, understatement, but...
did you spend the night there?
Yeah, I spent the night
there. Okay, what did you do that evening?
There's got to be some good college bars, right?
There's nothing there. It sucks.
Really?
Like, there are. There's an area right around Notre Dame. We stayed a mile away. You know, we were in a little, I'm going to say the business area of South Bend compared to the college area.
Yeah.
And it, by the way, there's like two or three other colleges. There's College of the Holy Cross. There's College of this, College of that.
Which usually means
Notre Dame.
A fairly fun town. Like if there's a bunch of colleges.
They're all religious schools.
Well,
for one.
Well, they are, yeah, but you know, I think
it's Catholic schools, which means there's a lot of good bars.
A lot of drinking. A lot of beer drinking. There's an area now that looks, it's very nice. And in fact, where we as in the station, had our pregame and post. The bar was nice. O'Rourke's, shocker, Irish bar. Mm-hmm. But that little area, there's about a 2-block area that's new, that's fresh, that's clean. You know, so did I go there? No, because quite honestly, first of all, I was exhausted when I get in. Travel day before, stuff, et cetera. All work all day the 31st. And then that night, I'm just like, you know, let's just go to dinner. And we saw some people from the NHL Network, from NBC Sports, et cetera, in our 3-block radius around our hotel.
Yeah.
And I was back at the hotel at 11:15, 11:20. So I walk into the lobby of the A-Loft, the Two Seasons, that I like to call it, of South Bend. But it was actually a very nice hotel. All kidding. It was very nice.
You didn't go fist pumping and glow sticking with Roenick or anything?
He was staying in
How
Chicago.
How hammered was Roenick?
He's staying in Chicago, so he's probably very hammered. I don't know. I only saw him for about 6 minutes. But I walk into our hotel, mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I hear, hey, put it in the sidle. And hey, you go get him, Maz. It's Matt Felger and Maz playing the role. They're playing, they're Paul Newman and Tom Cruise in, what was the pool movie?
The Hustler.
The Hustler, yes. The two of those guys are in the lobby.
Color Money.
Yeah. Color Money, the sequel to The Hustler, yeah.
They were great. They had a good time. They were good. They were buying some beers, you know, and we talked. And we bonded. It was nice.
they're fun to hang out with.
You bonded with Felger. Good for you.
We had a good time. Yeah, I got grilled while he was, you know, playing pool, which was funny. And then we had a great time. You know, whatever. Listen, I hate this thing. I'll state it. It is what it is. You know where you are. You go out. You had a solid dinner. And again, I saw some people that I work with at NHL Network. Had a good time. The town was quiet, but when everything came together at 9 a.m. the next day, people were already, the parking lots were open at, I think, 7 or 8 a.m. People were setting up the tailgate, having a good time. And there was concern about selling out the building. They got 76,800, I think.
Yeah, it was all huge.
Because the Hawks have stunk this year. They have. And it was great. It really, what a nice, it was a, it, it, you know, look, it's so clean now how they put these events together.
Yeah,
they've gotten it down. The weather the day before, fellas, was god awful.
They couldn't practice, right?
Couldn't practice. You couldn't stand outside without getting, it was one of those rains where in 2 minutes you were like, holy, I'm drenched. You know what I mean? There's rains where you're like, hey, I didn't feel anything. This, you're drenched. So Dan Craig and his guy, Dan runs the ice conditions for the entire league. They worked their butts off, and they made this thing. They just got it down now.
Any Bruins fans? Because on TV,
oh my God,
on TV, it didn't seem like there were a ton of them.
Well, you could hear. The only thing I heard from Bruins fans was Tuke.
Yes, that one. The save and breakaway, the end of, and then the end of the game.
Yes,
yes, you're right. There were obviously significantly more Chicago fans given the geographical location, but no, there were a lot of Bruins fans. A lot, and they were having a good time even before the outcome of the event. But my guess is, guys, it was 70-30.
Wow, it didn't seem that way on TV.
No,
but that's good. That's good to know.
Unless you had Roenick like rolling around and.
See, I didn't get to see him. I was
Chicago Blackhawks, man.
What was he? Oh, is he doing that?
Yeah. He was like in the stands.
He's not crying again. No,
he's like, who's your favorite Blackhawk?
hey,
I never got to play one of these.
So this was the game. Obviously, it was, you know, there was the whole question about Tuukka Rask on a big stage.
Big question.
Yeah, and he was great. And you know, this is one of those things where when you saw the way that he played and he did play well, do you think that this is the type of game that could, I guess, keep him as the number one goalie throughout the rest of the season? Like, unquestioned the number one goalie?
I haven't even thought about that. Meaning in the sense of, I just thought that this was a nice, great performance from a guy who had to.
But, right.
Who had, so does this make him the number one? I sure hope so, but... I don't look at it like that. I look at his, he came through in this, and I look at his, for temporarily speaking, he probably gets less heat, and maybe that puts him into a good spot.
And Cassidy afterwards didn't exactly say, well, this is it. He's like, oh, we feel good regardless.
No, he did praise Tuukka Rask.
No, he should praised him, but he also didn't overlook Halak either, I guess.
Well, he shouldn't, because Yaro's done this. Now, I would try and get Tuukka more and more games, but tomorrow I'd start Yaro. At coming back home, a game where you go from, let's call it a 10 on the excitement meter, and it was, and the energy. And when you see veteran players like Chara and Bergeron and Kane and Taves, and they're looking around.
Dude, they wore costumes. And they showed up wearing costumes
right,
to the game.
They're that into it. You know what I mean? My point, the excitement level's here. And now you got Thursday night, by the way, a tough game tomorrow night at home against a good team in Calgary, but it's a little different in that. So I know a pro is a pro is a pro. But I'm saying, you know what? I'd maybe say, hey, Tuukka, you know what the schedule is? Halak's going to maybe start here. You've got Saturday, you've got here. Like, meaning you get him more games that way.
Okay.
If he goes out and doesn't play well tomorrow, but what happens? We're playing that game, that what-if game, then all of a sudden people are like, oh, you see, it didn't matter. Well, you know what? Tomorrow's going to be a tough game.
Sure.
It's that re-kick, that re-energy, that reset again.
Yeah.
These guys are human. So you go from that high level to the – so I don't know. Listen, I it'd be great. Tuukka mentioned that you heard him in the clips. You know, he mentioned before the game that outdoor isn't always his most fun.
Yeah.
You know? and he came through. I was next to him for two periods. My spot, I had an awesome spot to call the game from down there. And I watched him, and his body language and his effectiveness and his calmness, really good in this game. He was not sliding outside posts. One time he didn't handle the puck. It wasn't like he didn't burp it up, but what he did, he just didn't put it in the right spot for the breakout a bit. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, he actually handled the puck pretty well at times. Less is more sometimes. So I liked his overall being in that game.
Did you figure out what the hell the Pastrnak goal celebration was we were just talking about?
No.
Off the air? Yeah.
No, I saw that live.
Well,
he had that stick,
the bowl of pasta on it.
Yeah, yeah.
He had the whole...
The emoji thing? Yeah, did you hear Marchand said, I would never put an emoji on a stick. He goes, I'll kiss a dude, or I'll lick a dude, but I wouldn't use an emoji.
Yeah, that was douchey.
No, I thought he was maybe doing some kind of football celebration.
See, people thought it was taunting the Blackhawks, like doing like an arms flapping thing.
That's
the LeBron break your back deal, but it was done by an awkward looking hockey player.
All right.
And it just didn't quite.
All right, I want to get into what is ranked by Daily Faceoff as the 25th. Third line in hockey. And I want to get into they got to do something.
They have to.
Fourth line looks good. Fourth line actually looks all right. Sean Corrali and those guys.
That's their third line right now.
Yeah, well, I guess it has been moved up to the third, sure.
They have to, yeah.
And so, I mean, Wagner, hey, he was physical.
Kid is doing his job.
Yeah, he's physical. All right, we'll talk tomorrow about Billy Japp. If you have a question, 617-779-0985.
Hatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
To the far point, here's Nordstrom hanging on. Rink wide, Grizzly walks in, shoots toward the safe, rebound, they score! A Sally for the second time in as many games, Sean Corrali jumping up and down, crashes into the far corner bar. He had the backhand in the slot. Bruins 3, Blackhawks 2.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We were talking about...
love that goal.
Yeah.
That was great.
Effort, man.
And we were talking about the lines for the Bruins. And what's your feeling on the second line now? They're not doing what they had been doing.
Well, you got Krejci with different players. You know, Jake DeBrusque is a bona fide top six. We all know that.
Right.
He is. I thought Krejci was awesome yesterday. You know, when I say questionable ice, it wasn't bad. I mean, it's great outdoor ice now, but it's still going to be bumpy and moving around and everything. Krejci's got such sublime hands that he actually can handle it. He can deal with it better than a lot of other players. And Bruce Cassidy, midway through the game, started playing double-shifting David Pastrnak a lot and getting him with him. I love the pairs thing. I love Marchand and Bergeron. I love Krejci with Pastrnak. I do. So then you put DeBrusque with one of the two of them. Let's just say it's with Krejci. So you go Krejci with DeBrusque and Pasta. And then you got Marchand, Bergeron, and somebody else. Who's that somebody else? It's rhetorical because we've talked about it before on your show, Rich, Fred and Rich. It's not a conundrum like the third line center, as far as I'm concerned, is because I do think that you have something there. Whether it is, I mean, can a Ryan Donato get going? You know, can they put him there? I know Danton Heinen hasn't scored, and right now Danton Heinen he's lucky to still be in the lineup at times. You know, he hasn't, but you know, here's a guy that could you get him going? But you got to stick with it. And Bruce Cassidy, here's the thing: the good and the bad. Bruce gets away from it quickly. On the other hand, because he knows he can always go back to it. Meaning he can always go back to the big line. The third line center to me balances everything out. And if you look around the division, you've got Nazem Kadri in Toronto. You've got Anthony Cirelli in Tampa. Those are guys that are really good third line centers for the teams that you worry about the most. Because what do you do in playoffs now? Divisional.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't compete with them, that third line, you're not going to be able to. So I just think that the Bruins need to figure out that third line center spot.
Figure out or consider making a trade when the deadline is.
I was just going to say, how much longer do you wait? Can you get Donato going? Can you get Heinen going? I mean, how much longer can you wait? Or if you're the Bruins, are you in a situation now where you hope another year will develop these guys?
No. I don't think they can't wait because you've got Bergeron who's in his ultra prime. He's past it. You could say physically he's past it, but he's mental. You put his, you combine his mental and physical play, he's still at the top of his game. You've got Krejci, who is, when Krejci's been on this year, we saw him 2-3 weeks ago. He was dominant with those other guys. You see him with those, with Marchand and Bergeron. He was a number one center again in the NHL. So no, you can't wait. And the other thing is, you know, you say, well, how much longer? You got to see what are other teams offering. And I know that's the big caveat. You know, what are they offering? Now that Donnie Sweeney and guys like Cam and his staff, they're saying, all right, now we know our team. We're, everybody's back except Charlie. Let's see what we've got. But they can't wait that long. I think they know that, too. They see that because they're getting by in certain ways. But yet, they're a more complete team. All a third-line guy, in my opinion, is it just balances everything out. It balances it out a lot more. And, look, Corrali, maybe he becomes that third line center. I don't know. I don't know when it's all said and done.
No.
I think he's best served in a kind of a mixed role where he can kind of elevate or ride up the lineup a little bit, like a Danny Paille did, but comes back down to his spot. He serves a perfect role. Chris Wagner, we were talking off air. He's done everything that the Bruins signed
him
for.
Yeah, you hear Wagner's name a lot. He's been very physical, and so
his game.
That's his game. So good. I mean, that's great.
Yeah.
All right. But when you're dealing with Chris Wagner and, you know, putting him in the conversation of, you know, someone who's going to make a huge difference, there's some trades that need to be made.
Well, it makes a difference in his, you're, I mean, I get what you're saying. He makes a difference in his way. You're right.
He's worthy of playing. That's every night. There's no question.
I want to have a third line guy that can match up, that you can match up against the opponent's top lines, that you feel real comfortable with, that can kill a minute's amount of penalty kill. Maybe can go out there on a second type power play if need be. But more than anything, I want that third line center to say, you know what? We're going to create a little bit of a mismatch with this guy in the sense of we feel so good with our third guy that we can put him out there against the second or first line of the opponent. That's one spot they're missing. You know, they're not scoring obviously as much as they did in the last couple of years. Some scoring comes and goes. We see that with all sports. We do. But I still believe in that team that they can score, but I want that depth. I want that third line guy.
All right. So speaking of the Bruins, and this is a gentleman who used to play for the Bruins, Tyler Seguin got crapped on
last week
publicly by his CEO. I mean, this is like never see this in sports. So if you haven't heard the story, so the CEO of the Dallas Stars.
Jim Leitz.
He was doing an interview, and it almost seemed like it was like an on-the-record conversation specifically Seguin.
No. It didn't seem like it. It was.
It was. Like
he said,
he wanted to call them out in the press. So according to The Athletic, a guy from The Athletic was talking to them, and he was talking about the two of them, Ben and Seguin. And he goes, quote, "They are effing horse blank. I don't know how else to put it. The team is okay, but Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn are terrible." He said, this is from the CEO.
Yeah.
He said, "We are a Stars-driven league, and our Stars aren't getting it done. It's embarrassing, and no one writes it. Write it. These guys are not good enough. They're not good enough for me. They're not good enough for the owner. They're certainly not good enough for the general manager, who I can't speak for, but it's not good enough for the job he's done."
He's not good enough for the GM. But I'm going to see who I can't speak for, but I'm going to tell you that they're not good enough for him.
Then he goes, "But we've had meeting after meeting after meeting. The accountability on the ice is not there. What do you know about this situation of what is going on in Dallas?"
Well, I can tell you from people that I don't know Jim Leitz, but I've never dealt with him. But people that have, just, you know, loose cannon type thing, and just kind of one of those guys, can't, once he gets going a bit, just here you go. I'm going to barf it out, so to speak. And this was totally set up. This was totally contrived. This is truth. He feels this way.
What was the final straw to call this press conference? Do you know what that was?
I know that the coach, Jim Montgomery, went off on his team right after the holiday, saying about their practice stuff and how they're preparing. And you know, they're a team that's on the cusp. They've been a wild card. They've been out of the wild card, on the cusp of the playoffs, and they feel that they are built to win now.
They have the talent to do so.
They feel that way. Yeah, I'd say that they're good. I don't know about very good, but they're good.
Okay.
But not, and they're paying. And what I was looking up the numbers again. Ben this year, he's got 7 more years on a deal. He's making like 9-something or 8-9. And Seguin just signed his deal this summer, this year,
yeah,
that kicks in next year for 8 more years at $78.8 million total.
Well, they both are top scorers in the league, point-wise.
Well, they were.
When they signed these deals, they're not playing well this year.
Yeah, but there had to have been, though, some consternation about the Sagan deal, because Jimmy Neal, who I have a lot of respect for, their general manager, had to know that this is a – I think they love Tyler, but I think they understand that there could be, you know, wait, we're talking 8 years and we're going to have points. Great. Are we going to win?
Okay. Somebody doesn't say this when it's somebody who's just not delivering.
The owner,
they say that when somebody's doing something irresponsible.
Well, the owner,
when they're not like showing up to practice or like they're loafing or
they're not. Look, Tyler Sagan played here with the Dallas Stars. Ben was good when they played here. Tyler Sagan, I remember hearing his name once, and I remember getting coming in and talking on your show about it. I'm like, where was he?
Yeah.
He still has, what does he have, 32 points? He's not a point per game, but he's close to it. But points are different than winning and leading. And according to Jim Lights, the executive, the CEO you're talking about, he gets texts regularly every game from his owner, Tom Gilardi is his name, saying, what the, are you kidding me? This and that. Because this is an owner who's paying these guys a combined like 20-something million or whatever it is this year in actual salary.
And he's locked in for a long time.
And he's got these guys going. And if that's true, Jim Lights is trying to, he's trying to be, I guess, a vulgar Tony Robbins. You know what I mean? He's trying to motivate
these guys.
Have
you ever saw Tony Robbins? He's plenty vulgar. Have you ever seen a documentary on him? Oh, yeah. He kind of goes off a little bit.
All right. Well, this is what this guy's trying to do.
But when has this worked?
He's trying. I've never seen this in another pro sports scenario. What this guy is trying to do, he's trying to be this renegade, tough guy, new era, despite the fact that he's not a 30-year-old guy. He's in his 50s or 60s. This is a guy who's saying, I'm going to take it for my owner. I'm going to speak for my GM, even though I'm not speaking for him. Now, Jim Neal did come out and say, look, I get what he's saying. We need to be better, but I don't agree with Jim Light, how the language he used, the terms he used. If you're a free agent, let's say you two guys are a free agent, which you're not, by the way, anymore. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And
be here for a while.
And you said, hey, you know what? I'm going to go look at this station. But yet I've heard that this GM absolutely, publicly
craps on us.
On other guys. No, on other guys that were there. Would you want to sign there?
Hell no. No. That's like the first thing you think when you read something like
Except
this.
Except there's no state income tax. So you might take
Plain Florida.
Right there.
That's true.
But it's a different approach. Here's the thing. It's a public business. You guys know it. We know it. When you're in sports figure. There's no doubt about it.
Is he behaving himself? Bottom line. Is Tyler Sagan behaving himself?
I haven't heard that there have been. Look, he's still going to have his fun. He's going to have his fun, and why not? He should have his fun. But I'm not hearing that it's anything behavioral. I just hear that this is a team that just seems to be, eh.
I never thought they were going to win the way they set up that team. It's just, it's top heavy, and Sagan doesn't seem like a winner.
What's his name still down there? From the Bruins? Recchi. Is Recchi still part of that organization? I know for a while he went and helped out.
Mark's an assistant coach with the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Oh, okay. Because I know for a while he went down
to the job.
Yeah, he's...
Failing.
No, they're doing. They won. They're winning again. Last 5 or 6.
Well, congratulations.
You're welcome. Rex would pull guys in. You know what I mean? He would do that.
Because this doesn't seem like the type of thing would happen if Recchi was there.
Fred, this team is not. It's better, but defensively, still they're trying to develop it. It's better. Look, here's the one issue. If they end up winning and doing well, I don't know if there's other presidents out there. I know there's a few loose cannon guys out there too. There's a few guys that. Not GMs, but president stuff that are, I wonder if they would go down that road too. I think it sounds too contrived. I do. I think it sounds too. If this was really an off the record conversation that the guy was having, and then
it's different.
Writers then could write. Writers then could say, you know what? I know there's some concern. I know there's some. No. I know there's some people that are ticked off.
Says, let me tell you about how
he called
awful
them
these guys
in.
Are.
He said, "I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about this." Then once he started going. Gates open.
Yeah.
All right. So third line center again. That's what they need. And it was at least on TV, it looked like
it was a fun day, guys.
Yeah, it looked really good.
Did you enjoy
TV.
The Weezer?
When they played the one or two songs that I knew, I forgot they were playing. Because during the intermissions, I go and get warm. I go and get a coffee and something to eat. I came out and I'm like, oh, I remember this song.
Yeah.
Like 20 years ago. I remember it. Yeah.
Because they seem pretty psyched to be there.
They are. All
right. Billy Jaffe from NESN, thank you so much.
Gentlemen, happy helping.
You too. Yep,
thanks. We'll see you in a week.
Yep.
Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 85 Sports Hub. it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the Stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on?
Well, if you are one of those people who once a year likes to go fly and spend a weekend at one of the away games that the Patriots are playing, next year's going to suck. Because if you look at the 2019 schedule, where they play the AFC North and the NFC East, home games seem fine. Of course, you have Buffalo, Miami, the Jets, and then your man Baker Mayfield rolling into town. Boston's about to be a little dangerous.
Why don't you all you Baker Mayfield guys that get on me after he throws that season-ending interception, why don't you all get on me? You should all wear Baker Mayfield T-shirts. Bunch of fanboys.
They can borrow yours. That got you for Christmas?
Oh, yeah, I wear it.
You woke up feeling dangerous.
I cut the sleeves off. I rock it at the gym.
Or you can just roll your Marlboros up in the side of one of them.
Absolutely.
Pittsburgh's going to be coming here. Kansas City, Dallas, the Giants. All right, these are a pretty good slew of home games. However, if you're looking to go travel, you, of course, have your regular Buffalo, Miami, and then the Jets. And then here you go, Cincinnati.
I've been to a game there.
That doesn't sound like a fun place to see a game.
It's great. No, I was, I got so hammered the night before that I was walking by a tailgate and I started throwing up and they were like, yeah, and then they gave us drinks.
How about the anus of Texas, Houston? They'll be playing down there, although we went there for the Super Bowl. It seemed to be fun.
I wouldn't want to spend the weekend there.
You want to go to Philadelphia? They'll be playing there. Washington, D.C. How about that? That should be a fun one. And then Baltimore, which I've never been to a football game there. I've been to a baseball game, and it seemed to be fairly
It's a quick walk across the parking lot to the football stadium.
Yeah. I love Baltimore. I love, what is it, Johnny's on the Half Shell?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I spent a whole day there.
Yeah, that's right.
But think about that. If you're going to take, usually you can say, like this year, Nashville was kind of the one that everyone wanted to go to.
It's always
a fun town.
I've been to Nashville for a game.
I like Nashville. I've never been there for a game, but I like the town of Nashville.
So I guess it's back to Miami, or it's warm. That's probably the winner of those.
I mean, yeah, of the ones you're looking at here, you don't want to go to Cincinnati.
Sucks, though.
What's that?
The town of Miami sucks.
I like Miami.
What about it do you like?
Wynwood Walls is a good area. That's a cool area. It's got, like, all the graffiti park, and it's got the cool restaurants and stuff. That's all right.
It's like they took something that could have been utopia and peed all over it.
Well, district's kind of all right.
It sucks.
It's just warm. That's all. In December, it's warm.
Yeah, but then a pain in the ass to get to the... What do you, rent a car?
We got to rent a car at almost any of these places.
Except stay up near Palm Beach and rent a car.
Yeah, except for Baltimore.
And not in Cincinnati. I got along fine without a car in Cincinnati.
You got to have a car in Philadelphia, don't you? I mean,
yes.
No,
you can take public transit. You can.
No, I can take a cab from downtown. It's not far. I mean, it's right by Club Risque.
Of course.
Where I left my wallet.
Yeah, all these places close to, like, strip clubs?
No, Cincinnati is a very tough area. I'll tell you what you have to do to Cincinnati to get to it. They're all in northern Kentucky. I think they're illegal in Cincinnati.
I actually know this. It's right across the river. I know this because I went to Cincinnati for a wedding.
And I had a friend who asked the doorman for cocaine, and the doorman went, no, you're leaving. And I sat around for half an hour waiting for my friend to come back and then went outside, and he was hiding in a bush.
just hiding there.
Yeah.
Like spaghetti.
Yes, he was just hiding there.
Okay, very strange.
Odd gentleman.
Okay.
But, all right.
Out of all those towns, where do you...
Okay, all right. Just name the towns again, and I'll tell you where the strip club is.
Buffalo.
Buffalo, we did go to a strip club, but I don't remember. I did go to a game there. I've told the story many times.
Okay. Miami.
Miami, come on.
All right, let's go Baltimore.
Baltimore, we did... go to a strip club, but it was because we met people. Johnny's on the Half Shell.
Baltimore's the place the little person jumps out of the house, right?
No, that's Pittsburgh, but they don't do that anymore. He died.
Okay.
So, but we went with the guy who owned the strip club and some strippers to the strip club.
Okay. Cincinnati.
Northern Kentucky.
Okay. Houston. Well, everywhere.
I didn't go to one because we couldn't because of our schedules. But.
You know what's funny? I lived a lot of my life, when I was younger in Atlanta, and then I moved to Dallas. Now, I just thought every city had strip clubs the size of Walmarts. I just thought that that's just what, like, that was how every place in the world was.
No.
And then I learned that, no, that's just Atlanta and Texas.
Not enough personal attention.
I guess so. Philadelphia, Fred.
Club Risque.
Okay, Washington.
Where there's C-sections every day.
Okay, Washington. They got to earn some money too.
I've only been to Washington like with school and then with my family.
Okay, well, it does not sound like a fun place to go see a game, and I'm sure the product on the field would be phenomenal as well. So there you go. If you love traveling to out of town games, there is your smorgasbord of amazing places to choose from.
Just go to a baseball game. It's always nice, and you can just go. St. Louis is a dump. But you can go there.
Fred, for all the people who might be getting excited about a certain rock and roll announcement that might be... Hey, John Gruden likes rock and roll. You know that.
Yeah,
I do. As you mentioned earlier. But there is one announcement that is rumored to be coming within the next several days. Eddie Trunk, who is a big metalhead.
Oh, yeah, the metal show. Okay, this is going to be over everyone's head but Rich. So there was a show called The Metal Show on VH1, and it was Jim Florentine and some other comic. I have no idea who he is. But they would have like a guy from this old 80s band that no one liked called Saxon. And then they would ask the guy, like, what is the best? Could you tell us the best three Saxon albums? And they would have the albums out. And the guy would be like, it's so tough to like my babies. And they'd be like, I know, it's so tough. You're like, who the hell's listening to Saxon? They had Manowar. Oh, they had Manowar.
Manowar dressed like barbarians,
so
right?
If you don't know, Manowar is considered by some people one of the worst bands of all time. And they dressed like cavemen warriors. Yeah,
Lothar, King of the Hill people.
Yeah, like with furs and stuff. Yeah. But they did it on Skype. And then the guy from Manowar was like, yeah, we're rocking London. We're playing this massive venue, and we have the loudest PA system in all of rock and roll. And you're like, come on.
It's talking... Because that's what you want.
No, but also,
volume.
But they have any money? Like, you know, you're talking through one of those microphones, that Mr. Microphone.
That you bought in the Fisher Price section.
Yeah, right. you got like,
it's
the radio.
Got a smiling face.
You got the radio set to, like, 90.
Or will you please drive a car by somebody near the club and turn it on 89.2?
They go, it's Big Manowar's back. Oh, we never went anywhere.
Well, either way, that gentleman who was on the metal show has a little birdie who has told him that there is to be a reunion of the original members of Van Halen and a tour to be announced soon. Now, before you get excited, just remember, last time David Lee Roth got back with the band, now, it was indeed Wolfgang on bass. They're saying Michael Anthony would be back.
Right, they patched things up.
They're saying that Michael Anthony would be back. Just remember the last time that three of the four got together, they went on tour and recorded a live album and released it, and it sounded like this. On top of that, they had such hits as...
Is this when I left?
Yeah, you left after two songs?
No, nope. I left in the middle of the first song. Alright, I'm about to turn 44 and not in good shape.
They released that. So what they did was they did like 20 recordings. And they said, this is the best of the 20.
Yeah, and they didn't even like tweak it. I'm about to turn 44, and I'm out of shape. Everyone knows that. I could sing Unchained. Oh, yeah, I cannot get that from here, mama.
I just like...
But it's my chance to sing.
She comes full blast in Chow Chow.
Chow Chow.
Puddin' Chow Chow. What is it? Hit that note.
By the way, they've only been rehearsing that song since 1983.
Fred left. He was so excited. I kept telling Fred, I'm like, listen, I saw the David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar tour. They played back to back. And I'm like, Sammy's in shape. Dude can sing. David Lee Roth sucks. I said, he's embarrassingly bad. And Fred's like, I don't care. David Lee Roth's back with the band. After like one song, Fred looked disgusted. He goes, I'm out.
No.
One song he lasted.
So they were waiting. And then, first of all, they had like Cool in the Gang open. And second of all.
He's not joking. Cool in the Gang opened the show.
They were great.
They're
the greatest.
They were awesome. Yeah, it's like the Metamucil tour.
I have so many Cool in the Gang albums. What I really want to hear is like a bad wedding. So he had this wood in front of him. And he spent, 20 minutes putting talcum powder or some substance on this wood so he could slide around.
Do karate kicks that were embarrassing.
Yeah, but, well, and then he gets out, and it's Unchained, which is my favorite Van Halen song, and it's like...
This one?
Yeah, and he's just like, how does Unchained...
Unchained goes like... That's how it goes.
He's like, chain, same, chain.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
Ground running! And I'm like, you can't get the words out, stupid.
Yeah,
you've been playing for a minute.
He's awful. And like maybe 75% of the time, Eddie Van Halen will be as sloppy as it gets. And you can't, and like, you won't be able to. The only guy in that band who seems to have it together is Alex Van Halen. The dude could still keep it in the pocket, but everyone else... And then you got Wolfgang, who, you know, I feel bad for him because the guy gets crapped on because he's not Michael Anthony. But he's not Michael Anthony,
yeah.
Who is like the secret weapon of that band. His backup vocals were almost, I mean, that was the thing that made them a great band.
See, that's the band that couldn't stand to lose anybody. Like, it's like Zeppelin when they quit after Bonham. Like, they couldn't, like, you can't afford to lose Michael Anthony.
Oh, hey, who said that? How you feeling?
He's eating his microphone.
Just sing it! Stop it! Stop dropping words! You can't say, oh, can't you?
Okay, yeah, he's doing karate kicks.
It's too, he's like, how'd I get it?
Okay, what did he just say? What did he just say? Write it down. Walk, I want you to write down the sentence that he just says here.
Not fair. I can't write that down.
It's the words, but it doesn't sound like
it. He likes the word chow, apparently.
Waited so long to see David Lee Roth. I missed him the first time.
Oh, yeah, so did I. When I was nine, my mom went to buy tickets in the morning. They sold out, like, back in the 80s when things sold out in, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So he's like, you sure that's not Mark Jamelli?
Oh.
He's like, hey, Nicholas, I got my back against the record machine. I ain't the first that you seen. Oh, Nicholas.
Why would you
say
what I mean?
Ah, might as well eat. There you go. Who said that? Ah, Nicholas!
Who said it?
Comfort and price, that's nice. Until you sit in it.
My name's Mike.
Standing here, I got my back against the recliner.
All right.
Find out what Zolak and Bertrand have on the way.
Montevelli.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.